Hi there. Welcome back to the Star Family Wisdom podcast. I'm Jenna Layden, the founder of Star Family Wisdom. And today we have a really extraordinary and multidimensional conversation with Kamora Jones. Kamora Jones is a galactic, cosmic, multidimensional artist and channel. Kamora is a person who has navigated a really transformational journey from being in the church at a really young age and growing up as a religious person to finding a more expansive spiritual reality to coming into her authentic embodiment and expression of her soul's energy in a human body. We talk about transcending duality and understanding the human body and how the soul is interacting with the body in this conversation. And Kamora has been exploring visual concepts, has been exploring drawing and art from a really young age. And in 2017, her wife and her had really significant metaphysical experiences, which activated a change in how she draws and channels art. So she now has these really beautiful, lucid, transcendent dreaming and astral projection experiences and downloads and pulls information from the void, as she calls it, to bring to paper and in digital formats this incredible expression of our multidimensionality and this incredible expression of how the universe works and how we as humans and we as a consciousness unit or soul are interacting with other consciousness units, other energies, other data points in our reality. So she studies concepts like reincarnation and consciousness and multidimensionality, and her art, the Transmigration series, is really inspired by her metaphysical experiences and this awakening that she has had. And she also mentors and coaches and guides through these sorts of conversations others who are interested in exploring their multidimensional selves and their unique, authentic expression of soul energy. And I think you're going to find this conversation today so activating and inspiring. And we show a lot of her artwork. So if you are listening to the podcast, jump over to YouTube so you can see her art, seeing the way in which our multidimensionality and the light codes and data and information that comes through her, seeing it visually, is going to activate something in your field. Just listening to this conversation will too, but seeing the art is on a whole nother level and adds to this conversation in a big way, because we spend a lot of time talking about her art, of course. So check out the links below to connect with her, follow her on social media if you don't already, and leave us a comment. We may be bringing some of Kamora's mentoring and art classes to Star Family Wisdom this year. So please let us know what you're interested in learning about and how you want to learn about your unique, authentic expression and channeling abilities from Kamora. So without further ado, enjoy this episode and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Kamora. Welcome. It is so good to be here with you. I'm so, so grateful to be with you today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm a fan of everything you do, and this is going to be 2023 is really great. And so I'm looking forward to creating a lot of new work and putting a lot of new energy out, but I'm just happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Me too. We're like both feeling that vibe that like create, well, you always feel this like creative flow. We're going to talk about today with your art, and I'm really feeling it now with Star Family Wisdom, and we have some cool synergies we're talking about. So I'm just so excited to share your work and your journey with the audience today. I've been a fan of your work and your art for gosh, like 3 years now. So our awakening started around the same time. And in the process of my awakening, I found you. So I've been following you this whole time. So it's really cool to be able to finally talk and share about our journeys with the audience and share about, you know, your channeling and this just incredible transmission that happens. Because for those who don't know Kimora, as I talked about in the intro, Kimora is a channel. Like Kimora is an incredible channel of cosmic intelligence and cosmic energy and light codes. And Kimora has developed just this incredible portfolio and body of work that I think, and I know you know, is just incredibly activating for people. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to show some of your work and talk about your journey and talk about how we transcend duality as souls on earth and what that specific journey is about as it relates to like our spiritual growth and our evolution and our ascension and our ability to really come into unity with each other. So I want to start with your awakening and your journey and what led you to where you're at now. So maybe just share with the audience a bit about your origin story and how you got to be the Kimora that is doing what you're doing today.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's, there's all these synchronicities going on at all times. You know, the last, you know, since 2017, a lot of people have been sort of going into this sort of activation state or activation space. You know, it seemed like that was a really interesting time, 2016, 2017, if you will. And the way it started for me was that, you know, I've been drawing and painting since I was about 3 years old. Had a lot of art teachers, you know, my parents were very supportive of my artistic endeavors. Got into the church, you know, got into like a Christian church when I was like, you know, 11, 10, 11, whatever. Got really serious about that, got really serious into the study of the Bible, but all the while still, you know, drawing and developing my artistic abilities, right? So I really started studying like, you know, these angels, you know, in these different dimensions. And, you know, the Apostle Paul would talk about, you know, these, you know, spiritual realm, you know, the spiritual realm, the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. And then, you know, you have like Isaiah's vision, you know, with like the seraphim and Ezekiel's vision with the cherubim. And, you know, these descriptions that they're giving look nothing like Renaissance art. They look nothing like medieval art, right? So, I mean, there are some medieval interpretations, right? But, you know, if you go back farther into ancient times, you know, some of the renditions get a little more accurate, right? So I was really intrigued by that and this idea of these battles and these other worlds. And I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, okay, well, where is this hypothetical like spiritual world? Like, is it a parallel? Is it another dimension? Is it another reality? Like, what is it? But all the while trying to filter everything through this sort of Christian modality, right? And so as I got older, still drawing, you know, went to an arts high school in 11th and 12th grade, but also had a bunch of awesome art teachers before that after learned a lot of my art fundamentals in 11th and 12th at this arts high school called LVA, Las Vegas Academy, that I went to. And then I went to school in Colorado for a couple of years, and all the while still trying to, you know, understand the spiritual thing and like what it means from my sort of artistic perspective. And, you know, years went by and I went through different relationships. I'm sorry for anyone who had to date me before I before I came into my truest self. I'm really, really sorry. But thankful also because I learned a lot from a lot of people. But about 10 years ago, you know, my spouse and I met about 14, 15 years ago. And so, you know, but, you know, we've been married for about 13 and a half years now. And so, you know, we met, I did not always look the way that I look. And, you know, one of the first conversations I had with my spouse was that, you know, I knew from a very young age that I identify as trans. When I was young, you know, I was born in 77, when I was young, we didn't have that. I didn't know what the terminology was. I was like heavily into the church, you know, like, so I was having issues with identity in conjunction with my perception of reality and in conjunction with my perception of the world. And so, you know, one of the first conversations I had with my spouse was, hey, I think I'm trans, but, you know, and I'd been doing some counseling. I'm like, I don't know, but we're in the church. I don't know if I can come out. So, you know, when we got married, we evaluated some things, you know, for ourselves and decided to get a little more freedom and kind of get out of the church. All the while, I'm still, you know, start drawing this like spiritual, you know, stuff, these spiritual things, but in a very dark way, right? Like just trying to understand, why is it this dark? You know, why is it this tumultuous? Why does the battle, why does it have to be a battle in this way? And all the while struggling with my own inner demons, if you will. I don't really particularly prefer that term anymore. But so a couple of years in, you know, I'll say about a year and a half, 2 years in, my spouse comes and says, hey, we should, you know, explore your identity, you know? And so came out, you know, started presenting, you know, it was really cool. I mean, so I started thinking about the world differently, right? So started thinking, well, why are humans the way that they are? Why aren't we utopian? You know, why haven't we figured out how to coexist and live with each other? Why haven't we figured out this thing? So I developed this series called Socrates, which was like a more of like a fantasy sort of sci-fi kind of thing where these humans are, you know, peaceful, living in this peaceful version of Earth, you know? So I kind of framed it as this parallel version, this other reality of Earth, if you will, with these dragon things. But the dragons in the story that I'm developing now have become more like these AI things or, you know, like augmented reality things. So just trying to think about humanity, like, where are we the way we are? So, you know, come 2016, I start getting these sort of memories and these sort of awakenings and unctionings of, hey, you know, what about your spiritual development? You know, so, cause I kind of, you know, got out of it for a while and I was thinking more materially, right? And so, you know, I felt this thing inside of me saying, hey, maybe God, maybe Source, you know, saying to me, or my, you know, my guides kind of saying to me, hey, let's get back into this, but let's get into it from an authentic point of view. Let's see if there are other perspectives for you, right? So
at this point, you really had come into your true identity, you feel like. Yeah. So that's an interesting like point too in terms of that like activation that occurred for you.
Yeah. I mean, albeit in a very duality focused kind of identity, I will say that the human identity, right? Even as identifying as a trans person, like a lot of people don't understand, a lot of people don't like it because they don't get all the different perspectives. They don't understand that there are a lot of different ways that trans people identify within their bodies. Right. I don't think I was not born in the wrong body. I was born in the right body to have the experience that I'm supposed to have. And a part of my journey is to come out and to be my authentic self, whatever that means. And everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it, albeit from a very human, you know, dual sort of focus and trying to look at the light and the dark and, you know, the day and the night and trying to process things through that. But as a spiritual person, also trying to look at things from a more of a holistic standpoint, right? From a oneness standpoint, as a spiritual person. And in 2016, I kind of feel like I kind of came into that a little bit and I felt something pulling me towards it. And there's a whole thing with that as well, you know?
So I want to talk about that big activation that occurred and how that really like catapulted you into, you know, the work you're doing now, but I want to pause and talk about your journey of really allowing your soul to find its authentic expression in your human body. Because I think, you know, you touched on something there that is, you know, such a big conversation right now and a confusing conversation for a lot of people and an emotionally charged conversation for a lot of people, right? to put it lightly. You talked about the polarity, right, that we're operating with as humans in this dimension. And, you know, I think we can recognize, and we talked about this in our last chat, that, you know, that duality is a thing that we understand is programmed, and we're learning how to work with those polarities, the masculine and feminine polarities in our universe. And it's not a one size fits all, right? It's not a this or that. There's also this whole spectrum in between, right? Like there's this whole expression of masculine and feminine energy that we move between no matter what our body is, right? And our soul has had all of these other experiences, right? In my early, I'll just share for the audience, you know, in the first 30 years of my life, while I, you know, identify as female and I am in what I feel like is a female body, I felt more masculine in a lot of the way I had to operate in the world and in the way a lot of my energy just like expressed itself. And so I think we all find ourselves kind of floating, right, between these energies, and it's you know, to me, this really cool thing that's happening right now as part of our evolution as humans is to accept and welcome and recognize that whole spectrum. So I want to just open that up for you to maybe just talk a little bit more about your journey and, you know, what that's been like for you. Because I also recognize it's probably not been easy because there's a lot of judgment around this. There's a lot of judgment around gender and how people express themselves in bodies. And that's what we're working through as humans right now. So
yeah, right.
So yeah, maybe just share a little bit more about how that has been for you and what you know to be true about that like spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said it. You said the word, you used the word spectrum, right? Spectrum is the operative word here in that gender is on a spectrum, if you want to even call it gender, right? So there is science behind this as well. There are plenty of articles you can look at. There's plenty of, you know, studies that have been done as well. That said, let's look at it from a, you know, from a physiological and from a spiritual point of view. One of the best things I've heard lately, I heard this this individual who had an NDE talk about this idea of the body as an animal, right? And so if you're thinking about, you know, earthlings or creatures that are born on earth, right? Not just humans, all creatures that are born on earth, you know, this is the animal, you know, this is the biological organism that we're using to have this human experience, right? And so the soul, as you said, which I love the fact that you said that because it's a conversation I love having with people. The soul has had many experiences. So I like to think of the soul as transgender, actually. You know, transgender being a word, right? I mean, I know people don't like that word, you know, it used to be transsexual, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But transgender is a word, right? It isn't a word that everybody identifies with. I identify with it because I'm in a constant state of transitioning into who I am. And I'm always going to be in that state. I'm always going to be in that place. I'm never at a fixed point. No one's ever at a fixed point. And so for me, it's, you know, the unit of consciousness, which is the soul, working with the animal, which is the body, or working with the biological organism to bring out certain types of experiences that help to expand the soul and help to expand consciousness singularly and collective consciousness, you know, collectively, if you will. But we are all one. That being said, the ego has a purpose as well. You know, the ego is how we're able to see these variations between light and dark. When I was in the arts high school that I went to, I had a fantastic drawing painting teacher by the name of Carol Treat, amazing art teacher. And, you know, amazing, you know, in regards, especially to like teaching photorealism and realism. I've had all these like fundamental classes and stuff too, and this fundamental training, but she would talk about this idea that in life, there are no lines. So in this reality frame, when you're talking about how this reality frame is rendered, we have this thing called realism. We see things photorealistically, optically speaking, for those who see with their eyes, right? For those who can't see with their eyes, it's more about feeling and hearing, if you will. But with those who see with their eyes, we're seeing this type of photorealism where we don't see lines. You see variations between different types, different values of light. And that's how you understand borders and structures and the difference between this point right here and that point, the difference between this edge, that door, that opening, that portal, whatever it is. And so the fact of the matter is that everything's on this like wide spectrum and everything is this sort of duality process. We're processing everything through duality. And when it comes to like this idea of good and evil or righteous and immoral or whatever you want to say, that is built into culture by way of religion, but also by way of culture in general. And so we have to understand that we're still working through all of that societally and just in various groups and in various spaces. And depending on which culture you're born into, that may be an even heavier energy that is being, trying to be sort of dissolved or trying to be incorporated in more of a holistic way. But I don't know, you know, it really depends on... It really depends on, you know, your place in it. And it's, as some of us would say, what you signed up for, you know, maybe you signed up to be in a very sort of, in a society that's very focused in on this sort of battle, and maybe it brings out your best self. And so for those of us who come out as trans, which I'd like to say everybody's coming out into their authentic selves, everybody's coming out, right? For those who come out as trans, it's more of a, you know, for me in particular, you know, I work in corporate during the day. I work for a corporate game development studio during the day, as an artist, as a senior level artist, you know, like there's all these ideas, there's all these things you hear in the media, and, you know, trans women are poor, you know, and Black trans women are like, are marginalized and all these different things. And for me, that really isn't the case because of how I prepped up until this point. But, you know, for some, it is the case. And so there isn't just this one experience in any type of human experience. And there isn't just this one definition. My definition is, you know, as I said, for me, you know, I'm having this experience because I believe that this is what I signed up for. And so for others, it may be that they feel really out of place in their body. For others, it may be that, you know, non-binary individuals, my spouse identifies as non-binary. Some days they feel a little more masculine, some days they feel a little more feminine. So they try to project that through their appearance, through their dress and such. But also psychologically speaking, you know, there are implications there as well. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's, thank you first for sharing all of that. And, you know, I think it's actually, in my opinion, a really evolved expression of a soul and a human body, right? When we can recognize that the energy that our soul is expressing or wanting to allow to flow, if that's not jiving, you know, with the body, like, that's a cool realization to come into and to then be able to find whatever that authentic expression is. And I love how you talked about how we are all on that journey, right? Mm-hmm. And some humans have just gotten laser focused on other people's journeys, you know, and it's like we are all on a unique journey. And I, you know, I want to state, you know, for the audience that at Star Family Wisdom, my stance and our stance is that, you know, we support everyone and their unique, authentic expression. That is what we're here to do. Like, we are here to become the new human, and the new human is being our most authentic selves. And that doesn't harm anyone else, right? And as long as we're not harming anyone else in that process, right? Like, more power to you, you know, like, everyone is here to just embody their truest selves and their highest joy and to follow their passion. And, you know, and I think that, like, thinking about it as that process of just becoming ourselves, becoming our true selves is a really cool way to put it. And I hope helpful, you know, for people who have been kind of pulled between this old programming around judgment and, you know, wanting to control other people's, you know, experience of reality, and, you know, finding this shift towards this more open place of understanding that spectrum. Because I think too, as we get into talking about our ET, you know, and star family, star brothers and sisters and friends, as we start talking about that reality and or them being part of our reality and the potential for contact and becoming a galactic civilization, well, we've got to be prepared for a really wide spectrum of beings and expressions of souls. And so I think we're like in this learning phase right now. We're unlearning and relearning as humanity.
Right. And I mean, you said it, you know, it's really interesting that so many people who claim to be spiritual or so many people who claim to be religious or whatever you want to call it, having a hard time understanding the magnitude of what source is, what God is, if you will. And I think if you can learn to kind of look at things from this point of view of that, the fact that the universe exists in the state that it does, and that it encompasses so many different galaxies, so many different star systems, right? So many different spaces. There are a lot of void spaces in the universe as well, in our universe. There are a lot of different things that counterbalance other things, right? And so if you think about just that in and of itself, and that we're this one little part as humans, you know, perceiving this sort of reality frame that we find ourselves in, we're one little part. You have to understand that the idea of source or God is much bigger than your sort of ideologies that you want to hold on to so tightly, because maybe you've invested a lot of time in them. And this is a conversation I have with a lot of my, you know, Christian friends, a couple of my Christian friends that I'm still connected with, is this idea of, no, I gotta, you know, I've been in this for like a while, you know, this is my faith. And it's like, nobody's saying your faith is wrong. It's how much are you willing to accept the expansiveness of what God is? The fact that there are all these different cultures in the world, the fact that there are all these different perspectives, the fact that there are people who are staunchly against something like Christianity. There are people who are staunchly against something like, you know, Hinduism or any other culture for that matter. The fact that there are all these hybrid systems everywhere. I think it's really important to understand that there are a lot of different things going on with each individuated unit of consciousness, you know, that's having this interface with source. There's a lot going on, and my contract may be completely different from yours. It may be that you're supposed to be a person who's in the church. You may need to be like, you know, a worker in the church. Like that may be your calling. So you should do that and you should take it seriously, you know, and you should be the best you can be at that. But I'm an artist, you know, and I'm a metaphysical artist at that. And I'm also a corporate artist, you know, so my journey is very different. I have to learn about a lot of different things. My journey has been one of having to expand, even though I've had people in my younger years tell me that I need to contract and that I need to stay in this one specific space. And you need to look like this. You need to act like this. You need to not do that. And you need to be this. And oh, that's going to hurt us if you do that. It's like, no, that's not my space. That's not my walk. And so when you come into that realization and you get some support, you know, everybody needs support, right? You start to realize that there's a lot of other things that are going on, and there's a lot of things that you have to work on yourself, and you can't be so involved in everybody else's stuff that you forget to do what you came here to do, in my opinion.
I love what you talk about around religion and that, you know, I think that evolution of consciousness as we, you know, break free a little bit from the box we got put in, right? So I kind of think of a lot of the institutions in our world, whether that's religion or, you know, a secular institution, those are these boxes we were kind of programmed to stay in. And what you were talking about around source and our connection to source, you know, makes me think of how there's a lot more outside of that box. And like, how much more open can your heart get? You know, it's like if you're in any sort of institution and that institution is kind of asking you to be closed off, to like close your heart to other people. Like you're actually like blocking your connection to source, you know, and there's this, like, that's just a fundamental question I think we all have to ask ourselves is, like, where am I being asked to be closed versus where can I be more open, and where can I just expand, and where can I ask more questions? One thing you talked about in your early part of your journey and your time in the church was around asking questions. And I love how you just kind of started to have this internal dialogue and started to ask all these questions. And it seems like that process of asking questions allowed this like opening to occur for you, allowed the universe to kind of present the right next thing to help you get out of the box you got put in.
But also something to think about, you know, Jenna, is that like, I feel like things were put in my way. So things were put along the road. So I had this atheist friend who like really challenged me on some things, who was like, hey, you know, like, why are you that? Why are you identifying with that? You could be like all these different things. There's all these people all around the world who believe all these different things. So why are you this very specific thing? And was just like really challenging me on this conversation of authenticity. And you know, saying to me, well, there's a lot of people doing that. Like, you don't have to do that just because a lot of people are doing that. You don't have to do that just because somebody told you have to do that. There are options. And then I had, you know, like my spouse had been done with the church for a while and didn't really tell me, because I was still like really trying to be invested, because I thought that that was my only option. And that's the thing, options. When you're not taught that you have options, this is nothing against anyone that I, like my parents are amazing, you know, everybody's amazing. It's just when you're programmed to believe that you don't have any other options, and then you start programming yourself, you start that feedback loop of thinking that you don't have any options and that that's the only way, that you somehow magically found the right way. Oh my God, I found it, right? then you start thinking that that's it. And what I'd like to put forth is that look at everything happening in the world. Look at all the heinous things that have happened in history, right? So think about it, right? So source is holding all of this, right? It's this big algorithm. It's this mathematical perfection that's always ebbing and flowing and working itself out, right? Some of us see it from a fate standpoint. that everything's already fixed. Some of us see it as a sort of non-determined free will sort of thing, right? It could be anything. And we find ourselves fixed in this state of focus called a human life, right? And we're seeing things linear. We have this thing called time as humans. We like abide in it, right? That's like our doctrine. That's our religion is time, right? Oh my God, I don't have enough. Oh God.
You're so right. That is the one overarching human religion.
Yeah. That is the overarching thing. Yeah. Everything is time. People, you know, destroy themselves over time, right? And so if you think about all the things that have encompassed, you know, you think about like the different types of slavery that have happened in the world, the different wars that have happened. You think about, you know, nuclear weapons, like you think about all this really horrible stuff, right? Okay, so Source is holding all that. Source has facilitated the partition on which this game is being played, right? This school, this, you know, simulation, if you will, that we go into to have these different experiences and that we go into to hurt each other and to get hurt and to get, you know, get, you know, let's get screwed up, you know, like, it's like this weird thing that we're in. And then, you know, when people come back from their NDEs, they talk about how, you know, or come back from your psychedelic experience, you talk about how, oh, wow, this is just a part of it. This is how it goes. We're feeding all this information. We're feeding all this knowledge into the collective, and we're all becoming smarter because of it. And so I think a lot of that stuff has happened. A lot of these bad things have happened are horrible, absolutely horrible. But think about this, your God is facilitating all of it. Mm-hmm. So that makes me think that when people say something like, okay, God is good, that's very human terminology. That's a very, you know, level one sort of understanding of what God is. But there are things like even in the Christian Bible that are like, well, who knows the mind of God? Who knows what God is? You don't know. See, the fact of the matter is that, okay, so when you're outside of the body, you're in source form, you're in a soul form, you know, and you're on the tick form, then you probably know everything. People have said that, you know, people have had those experiences where, oh, I just knew everything, you know, when I got out of this, the weight of this body. But, you know, in general, it doesn't seem like this experience is designed to be this only a beautiful, peaceful thing. It seems like it's this experience is trying to create character and trying to, you know, bring out, you know, the best and trying to evolve what this soul human connectivity could potentially be, but also seems like we're active participants in it as well. So I just think that there's a lot of sort of philosophical banter. There's a lot of sort of dialectical, information and this back and forth, and it's being worked out through this sort of duality, which can happen in this reality frame. And so I think people need to think a little more intelligently about, you know, when you say God is good or when you say God is great or when you say these different things, it's quite possible that God is nothing like what religion has portrayed God to be, in my opinion.
Right. It seems like the universe, source, the simulation, whatever you want to call it, that we are mm-hmm. in, a part of, connected to, is like so much more complex than we could even understand. Yeah. I think your work, like your art, demonstrates that in a way. Like you talked about this, you know, mathematical, like kind of algorithm that seems to be in place that facilitates that soul material connection and facilitates this dance between, you know, the polarities, and then that ever like evolving, like learning mechanism that's happening in the universe. Mm-hmm. And as I've looked at your art, it's like your art portrays that geometrical structure of like the mathematics that are playing out in our universe. So maybe we can switch gears and talk a little bit about the activations that occurred that started your art in the form that it's in now. And maybe we can share a little bit with the audience so they can get some of those visual activations.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me actually share a little work here while I'm talking, and I can kind of explain how things went down in the 2016 and 2017 phase of my life.
I would bet a lot of people watching right now and listening were activated around that time, because I'm meeting more and more people who had a similar just like activation awakening in that 2016, 2017 timeframe. There seems to be something significant about that for a lot of people.
Right. Are you seeing my art screen here?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you can see here, these are all my links on the right side here, right? basically, the way that this goes is that, and I'll go back here really quick. Sorry about that. You can kind of take a look at this while I'm talking a little bit. So in 2016, I started, you know, getting all this sort of unctioning to kind of get back into my, you know, sort of spiritual path, if you will. I started remembering this vision. There was like this vision of this, you know, this dark man with a white beard and just looking at me, you know, sort of interfacing with me. And it was really interesting because I didn't know if that was like maybe a movie that I saw, you know, or something. And so I was asking my dad, I'm like, what's with the weird movie, you know, with like this like very, you know, real and strong looking dark man. He's like, I don't remember that. But I mean, it could have been either way. There was also another vision of like these Egyptian ruins with this dark sky. And so there's these two images that were impressing themselves upon me. And basically it just kind of was like a sort of like a memory that sort of triggered something within me, like a key unlocking a door. And so I started looking into different ideas about reincarnation and metaphysics. And I looked at Michael Newton's book, Journey of Souls, you know that book?
Yeah.
And you know, just started reading about that. And that also was like a big awakening for me, this idea of other realities, other lifetimes, other experiences. And basically it kind of came to me that I needed to think in terms of how I'm sort of fitting into my experience. And so I started thinking about, well, how can I have, you know, up until that point, I'd had a lot of lucid dreams. I'd had a lot of things going on during hypnagogic states. I'd had a lot of things happening during meditations. I'd had a lot of very spiritual dreams. You know, I'd had some dreams that were just like, you know, these sort of abstract ideas of trying to explain like how Source does things, you know, and my dreams are always spiritual. They were always sort of informing different ideas about consciousness and about collective consciousness.
So it's like you were it's like you were getting guidance for years.
Yeah.
And these like little like snippets.
Albeit somewhat sort of encoded, right? And so kind of like if you look at this metatoxin feedback on the left right here, basically, you know, this higher dimensional being playing with this algorithmic structure. And trying to work things out with it. That's the tool that being has to kind of work with. And so I sort of found myself in this space of trying to figure out what tools to use. And so like, you know, I used some meditation. So I started, you know, looking into, you know, some ideas about, you know, psychedelics. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do anything illegal. Like I can't do that. So around like 2017, marijuana, you know, cannabis became legal here in Vegas. And so I did some studies, I did some research and found out that eating edibles could induce a psychedelic experience or whatever. You could get your spiritual experience that you want. And so basically, you know, my spouse made some like can of butter, and what I would do is I come home from work and I would pop a cookie, and then like 45 minutes later, that's basically how the transmigration series started. Was that in those spaces I was able to actually get beyond my sort of the weight of my human perception and sort of elevate and sort of access higher dimensional energies. And so when you look at some of the earlier pieces, so I'm gonna kind of scroll back a little bit and I will go back through these. So Easter Sunday, 2017, I went into, I think we had a lot of edibles and, you know, there was a lot going on in the energy. I had been asking for a major experience. I'd been asking Source for this. And I went into this experience, and this piece on the left here, this piece called Star Children, if you can kind of see that, that was kind of what I got out of the experience. And that piece sort of identified for me and sort of catalyzed for me this idea of souls or nodes of consciousness, you know, nodes or points of intelligence, you know, within collective consciousness, that's basically what we are. And so that experience, you know, I had all these different, you know, I saw these like this void space with like these pixels. And I also had this, you know, part of that experience where I heard these voices talking. And what I gathered from it was a conversation I had before I came into my current body. And there were a bunch of people in my soul group who were, you know, chatting around like children, just kind of talking, you know, like, hey, we're going to be, hey, let's have fun, you know. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go be somebody. You guys are stupid. You know, like I remember saying something like that. I remember when I heard it, I was like, yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
Like, I'm going to go be a human now. I'll see y'all later.
Yeah. I'll just, you know,
the next incarnation's done.
famous last words, you know what I mean? So
oh, I love it. That kind of reminds me, that one, it like makes me think of our soul stars, you know, and like us shooting out from our soul stars and traveling around the universe to wherever we're going to go. That's amazing.
Yes, that's exactly it. And so from that point, if you even go back and look at some of the earlier pieces, which these aren't specifically the earlier pieces, the piece here in the middle, Blame the Universe, was one of the pieces that when I went into that first experience, that Easter Sunday 2017, that piece actually impressed itself upon me in that I was looking at this aura on the edges of this human character here, this human archetype here. And I started remembering this aura, and it was like something was looking back at me and saying, kind of like this image here, something was looking back at me and saying, hey, don't forget why you came here. Don't forget what this is all about. And it was like, it unlocked a lot of things. And then, you know, a couple months later, I went ahead and had another experience. So from that point on, my sort of edible use, I couldn't just use edibles. It became like a way to kind of go deep into collective consciousness, into higher consciousness, if you will. And so I don't actually do it that much. I do it maybe once a year as sort of like a deep dive, kind of like how people do ayahuasca or whatever. You know, like I can't do that right now. but for me, like edibles is enough. So this piece right here was sort of, so the next experience I had a couple months later had more of the alien extraterrestrial sort of energy in it. And that's when I started sort of approaching this idea of light language and these higher dimensional beings who are trying to instruct humans and trying to help humans to raise their vibration, if you will. And so the light codes, if you look at this piece here, you can kind of see here in this, you know, sort of like first very identifying piece here, there are light codes that are kind of like in this piece already on the left here. You know, and so in that experience, I was very aware of the fact that, okay, so there's these information bits, there's these bits of information that are always being downloaded that we're always accessing. And so, hey, Kimora, you know, you can portray those as sort of energetic constructs that aren't necessarily language in terms of grammar, but in terms of information flow. And so how would you portray that? Also at the time, I started seeing a lot of people who were doing light language, you know, drawing light language stuff on social media and stuff too. So that helped as well. So it kind of like catalyzed and kind of made sense and kind of connected a lot of it. And it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I need to draw light language, you know, along with these beings that are trying to help humans evolve. And then I also need to draw the energy that coexists between our souls and our higher dimensional selves and between source. And it was like from that sort of dialogue and a couple experience I had, you know, after my initial experience, the second experience being having a lot of extraterrestrial energy in it, I started realizing that, okay, maybe I can think of these higher dimensional beings, these extraterrestrial higher dimensional beings as, you know, like, what are angels, you know, like, what are guides, you know, what are they? And so I don't think of them, these beings that I portray, like in the middle here in ideation intention, I don't think of them as extraterrestrials per se. I think of them as, you know, we're trying to understand what these so-called guides are. And what could they be? Could they potentially have their own culture? You know, what might that be? And that to me just shows that I'm still evolving from the initial premise, which was, what is this spiritual realm thing? If that makes any sense.
Right. So that was like the first question that then unlocked what is now this very multidimensional expression of energy and the way beings' consciousness may flow and, you know, work kind of with that energy in the universe. It's interesting. Yeah, and earlier, Kimora, I love pointing these moments out for the audience because only I knew about it a few minutes ago. But as you were talking, I had more questions, you know, kind of forming, and I started asking those questions kind of to you in my head, and you just started answering them.
Yeah. I mean, so, that's it, right? I mean, it's synchronicity. It's connectivity. Yeah. I think the next sort of stage of human evolution, and this is completely non-scientific, I think the next stage, because we're exploring gender and we're exploring different expressions and we're sort of breaking out of the box of these modes that we sort of set for ourselves is this sort of telepathic, you know, communication. And I think communication is changing. I think our technology is showing that communication is changing, how we interface with each other, how we interface with time, how we interface with the things that we share with each other. I think that when you look at this piece here, accessing the higher aspect on the right here, what you see, and a lot of people ask me this, is, you know, you have all these data bits, these little geometric shapes, you have these little waves going on, you have these light language pieces, you have all these different things going on here, right? And they're filtering through, you know, the being on the left here, and they're filtering through the being on the right, they're filtering through the being on the very right here, and then on the being that's kind of sort of receiving this large transmission from this larger being here. Well, all these information constructs, all these light language information constructs are just a part of the conversation they're having. So the thing about visual art is that, you know, visual art, especially like more like modern art, which is like, you know, 1920s on, humans started getting out of the having to portray everything realistically. And so you have people like Kandinsky, you know, who took geometric forms and constructive forms that were trying to use color and ideas and trying to show these sort of visual representations of colors and ideas. You don't have to portray things realistically. You can think of things in terms of forms or in terms of, you know, organic structures, but in a spiritual sense or in a quantum sense. And so what I'm doing is I'm actually just showing. So what this is showing is different parts of this hyperdimensional conversation that's going on. This is just how I visually decided to portray it. This is kind of where I feel guided, how I feel guided to portray these things. Yeah.
I love that. I love what you talked about around that being data. You know, what you're depicting in your, you know, drawings is really data and it's information. Yep. Like you're able to represent the like layers of data and information that are present in our reality in this construct that we are in.
Right.
And I think it's interesting too, that your first experience happened on Easter Sunday, given your religious background, like that seems highly synchronistic and really important that was like one of the first big moments.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There were other things that happened that day as well that I'm not going to talk about, but there were other things that happened. There was a family thing that was going on that day that was a very serious thing that was going on at the same time. And there were all these convergences within that couple of days around that. And that day in particular, there were things going on. And so it just leads me to understand that, you know, we want to believe that we have a lot of control over things, but everything happens in its right time. And so I'm sort of leaning, you know, I'm still to this day, I'm sort of leaning more towards the sort of fate side of things, in that maybe everything is pre-programmed, in a sense that maybe we have a bigger role in programming, you know, and people have talked about this, many NDEers have actually talked about this. Maybe we play a bigger role in planning things in regards to what we need to learn, what we need to experience, what we need to experiment with while we're here in this current state of perception. But also, you know, I think that it is also quite possible that you need to take the reins of your experience and go for it. And so when it comes to art and it comes to explanation, so I had the aptitude for art, but I still had to go and I had to train. And I had a lot of different teachers. I had, you know, drawing teachers, I had painting teachers, you know, I went to school for, you know, multimedia. So it was a combination of like digital art and different aspects of, you know, figure drawing and design. And there was some video editing stuff in there. There was some 3D modeling and texturing stuff in there. And at my day job, I have to use all that as well. And so it wasn't just that, you know, I had this artistic ability from the beginning, I had to develop it. And while developing it concurrently, my spiritual development was going on as well. The initial premise being, the initial portal being religion, the succeeding portal being self-identity, the next portal being self-identity through the lens of identification with the soul, the next portal being the soul and how it identifies within its mission. And so if you can sort of start thinking of your experiences in terms of, you know, in terms of what the heck you're doing here for yourself, and if you can start looking at the people in your life as, oh, this person's teaching me this person's teaching me that, it changes. And so what you see in the Transmigration series here is what I've kind of been led to portray is this idea of, you know, masters and students. If you look here on the right here, this master is sort of imparting this light into the mind of this human student here. These beings, I call them transmigrators. And what they're trying to do is they have these thing called seed abstractions. And so seed abstractions are these encoded, you know, data bits that they are covertly putting into human, putting into humans' minds. And it isn't a trying to program humans to be a certain way. These are like ideas, like positive ideas, like, hey, you know, what if you guys could do this? What if you guys could be peaceful? What if you guys could create things that are conscious, you know, like stuff like that.
I love that. I think that's such a cool thing that you're portraying there. Cause I've actually heard that in some studies of famous like scientists, you know, people who have created or brought to life these really incredible concepts on Earth, that actually, when you look into their life, they were way more spiritual, highly metaphysical in various ways. And they describe it as like kind of reaching into the ether, reaching into the energy field and like pulling a concept down.
Yes. And that's exactly how you're
portraying how that's happening on the other end, right? Who's giving us that concept? Who's like putting that concept into our consciousness field?
Yes. And that's actually the technique that I use to get ideas is sort of a trance technique. And what I do is I sit still, I close my eyes, I look into the void, and I detach from my relationship with my physical body. It's not anything weird or anything, it's just something I do like automatically now. But I send an intention out into the void, and I'm sending a specific type of intention to a specific type of energy. And what I get back is what I draw. And sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes I get, many who know my work, they know like I produce these little writings that go along with the art as well. A lot of times it's instantaneous. And so like sometimes I'll get the image first, sometimes I'll get the words first. Sometimes the words have a certain type of sort of vibrational algorithm in it that informs what the image is supposed to look like. And so, you know, there have been many science fiction stories written about this, you know, and many people have talked about this, you know, in the sort of psychic spaces or in the NDE spaces, but this idea that sound and words and that there's information in everything. Everything is packed. Every little thing is packed with information. Sounds are packed with information. And so you can pull from all kinds of spaces. It's just whether or not you're willing to, you know, do the work and figure out how you do it, because your technique may be different from my technique.
Do you get guidance on like the type of medium, like digital, on paper? Like what does that look like for you in terms of like how the transmission is supposed to come across to someone?
So that's a good question. So if you look at this piece, Control Mechanisms, which I did in 2018, which is basically still to this day one of my most popular pieces. This is the piece that gets shared and people are like, oh, it's a demon. Oh, it's an alien. Oh, it's a, you know, this is, you know, this is kind of how the series, this is how the extraterrestrial component of the series kind of really got going, really kind of got me in the public eye, in that there was this, I do these giveaways every once in a while. And what I do is I give these three grand prize, I give like a free piece to like everybody who enters. And then I give like I get three or four grand prize winners and they get like an original drawing. So there was this idea that kind of came to me, and this triadic piece I think I did earlier, this one on the left here. And what it was this idea of an artifact. So an artifact would probably be on parchment. It would probably have some sort of, you know, be drawn with ink or with some type of graphite or some type of, you know, element, some sort of hand wielded element. And so this idea of having graphite, you know, on this parchment with this higher dimensional energy being channeled through this physical picture plane, it has a certain type of feel, a certain type of texture, a certain type of naturalness to it. And so if you look at this right here compared to something like this piece on the right input here, those lines are a lot cleaner, a lot sharper. It's not that these are different, it's that the interface between the viewer and the piece is different because of the naturalism you receive when you're doing something like drawing with graphite versus when you're drawing digitally. Drawing digitally, I can fix my lines, you know, I have a smoothing contour tool that cleans up my lines as I draw. So I get these really clean lines, these really clean transitions between shading and such. When I'm drawing with pencil here, you can actually see my imperfections. You can see my mistakes. You can see where I'm pressing down on the pencil hard You can see where I'm lighting up light. That's a part of just drawing in general, but you can see my hand as a part of the experience, as a part of the interface between the download and the drawing and the presentation itself. And so, yeah, so there's a big part of this has to do with, okay, so, all right, Kimora, what are we trying to say? What are we trying to help people to feel? It isn't just about drawing a picture. It isn't just about making a piece of music. It isn't just about dancing. It isn't just about making a film. It's about all the elements that go into the type of interface you're trying to make. So what I would impart to those who are creatives and those who want to become creative professionals, those who are training, is that every little thing matters. Every little aspect of every presentation actually matters. And if you start thinking about that, you start realizing that you don't have a lot of time to be in any drama and stuff. You need to actually be doing work. You need to actually be studying and figuring out the intricacies of your craft, whatever that craft is. That craft could be some sort of administrative work that you're doing. It could be some sort of charity work that you're doing. It could be that you're a leader in a specific type of, you know, corporate franchise or something like that. It could be that everything is art. And if you don't understand what can be done with a media, pencil, voice, film, 3D, whatever it is, if you don't understand everything that can be done with it, you may be compromising the message that needs to come through. So you got to have something to work with. Like, you know, if you're interfacing with some higher dimensional beings or some guides or whoever that are trying to give you information, they can only work with what you got. Right. And so, although I think that the faith modality is a big thing, I don't know. There's still a lot of work to be done. Once again, at this perception, there's no way for me to know. All I can do is do my work. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
I love that. I love that message. I have a couple of comments, and then I just want to reiterate that message for the audience, because I think that's huge. Like, that is the thing we're here to do. Get out of the drama and cultivate your gifts, right? Like, yeah. we all have our own unique gifts to deliver the world. And like you said, like, we have this ability for our higher dimensional aspects of ourselves, our star family, our higher self source to move through us. And that can't happen if we don't do our shadow work, if we don't let go of the drama baggage we've been carrying. So at Star Family Wisdom, that's one of our big focuses, is helping people learn how to move through that process, that transformational process, so that you can really embody the gifts and allow that light to flow through you. Parchment, or was it graphite on parchment, that you showed a few minutes ago, this makes me think of our ancient selves, like all of the lives that we have all had here on Earth in ancient times, and this, like, almost like this activation of information and data that's been lost, you know, throughout the eras of humanity. There's something about this that just feels so, like, good to my soul.
Yeah. And so, had it been done in a different way, had it been done in a different media, had it been done without the skill, would it still have the same presence? It may come through, but it's really important to understand, you know, your investment in the channel.
Yeah.
As an individual who agreed to do this. And if you don't think you agreed because you're here. So, you know, it's like, you have to make the most of it. And there are some horrible situations people find themselves in, but the question is, how could you really make the most of your experience? Like, you could really become a master of your experience. You could be using duality to transcend duality. Yeah. You can use duality to create art that transcends duality. And unfortunately, or shall I say fortunately, I've had a lot to learn. I've had a lot to learn in life. Everybody does. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've hurt people. I've been hurt. I'm still stubborn in a lot of ways, you know, but one thing that I'm not going to compromise is my interface with what I came here to do. I've never compromised that. I've had people say to me, you know, oh, why you draw so much? Why you do this? Why you do that? It's like, no, it's not your question to ask me. okay, you can ask me anything, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop just because you think I do this too much or because I do that too much. The fact of the matter is that maybe inside you know what you want to do. Maybe you know what you want to do. Maybe you don't have any support. Maybe you don't feel like you have any support. Maybe you need to be around the right people. Maybe you need to get a good mentor. Like this, like these pieces, like these transmigrators trying to impart information to each other and to, you know, beings who are trying to learn. Maybe it's about getting into the right spaces. Maybe it's about questioning everything around you. Maybe it's about questioning your motivations or your intentions. I would like to also put forth that as a, you know, trans-identified person, right, as a trans woman, you know, getting my hormones balanced actually has helped me a lot as well, because even though you're a soul, you're having to work with the animal, which is the body. And so the body needs a certain kind of balance. So when people talk about nutrition and stuff, you know, I'm not the most nutritious person, but when people talk about nutrition and getting your body balanced, that's a part of it. Unfortunately, your soul isn't so strong that it can transcend, you know, some people get to that point, right? But you're still having to work with an organism, a biological organism that wants to do its own thing. It wants to be animalistic. And so the soul has to manipulate that. The soul, you know, the body's like a mech suit, right? It's a mech meat suit, right? And the soul is trying to do things and manipulate that. And that's a part of the challenge. Like as a human being, the part of the challenge is, God, how do I wield this creature that I find myself in? And then what you always hear about after the fact is, you know, people having their life review, you know, kind of reviewing their life and looking at this character, like, oh my God, I don't even really identify with that character. I did all that stuff, you know, in that body. Yeah. So that's really interesting to me too. Like, yeah, you're playing a character. There are implications to playing that character. I believe that karma is a type of algorithm. I don't believe karma is just karma. I believe that that is the algorithm is karma. Like, it, yeah, you do something, you're going to get it on the back end. It's just going to happen. It's just a part of it, you know? So, yeah.
How the universe is programmed. It's a thing.
That's the game. That's like the rules of the game. That's the programming. That's just what you get. You know, that's the backbone.
I love that you talk about that alignment, you know, between the soul and the physical body and really learning how to work with the physical body. And I've joked in the past about learning how to operate the human, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like thinking about it like a video game is kind of helpful sometimes, you know. Yes. It's like when the avatar in the video game gets low on energy and it needs to go find some food or whatever, you know, there's all these parallels you can start to draw, but one of the channeled, kind of information that I've really been enjoying recently is this material from a group called LARCMA, which is a Pleiadian consciousness. And they talk about this merging of the etheric and the physical, and that is one of our goals of mastery, right? To learn how to really align the blueprint with the physical body in a way that allows for the perfect, unique expression and perfect health, you know, to occur. And I'm feeling like someone like you is really on that path. And that can be like one of those ways we really access our full gifts, is like learning how to work with that holistic system and merge it almost.
Yeah. And with that group that you're connecting with, you know, they're trying to teach that the soul and the body, and it's in their elevated states, you know, can do so much more collectively, and can, you know, sort of transcend these really, you know, outdated and outmoded, you know, concepts that we have in society. You know, there's never enough money. There's never enough this. There's never enough that. It's like, yeah, none of that stuff really works anyway. You know, this whole money thing, like, really doesn't work. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't even work for super rich people, like, because they never have enough money either. So, like, why are we still doing this? And
are they really happy?
Yeah, right. So it's like, there's this idea of what could happen if we really fuse the soul with the body, if we really kind of start, you know, scientists are studying consciousness, like they have all these ideas about consciousness, right? This is the big conversation right now. We're in the psychedelic renaissance, we're in this consciousness renaissance, and they're trying to figure out what it is. If we're trying to figure out if consciousness is even a thing. And the fact of the matter is that I think the closer we get to, this is just my opinion, like as an artist, right? This is the only thing I'm, I'm, I can talk about, but I think as we merge, as you said, as we get closer to understanding how integral it is to be this sort of unified body, and I think in a body of authenticity on an individual level, and furthermore on a collective level afterwards, I think it's gonna, you know, I think people start getting tired of things and being like, oh, why are we doing this? Like, this doesn't really make any sense. It doesn't make any sense evolutionarily. If you're trying to have a space, something like a space program, you know, you can't have money in the way of a space program. That's what's holding you back is money, you know,
and
like everybody's got to be working together, you know? Yeah.
And we should talk about your drawing here, the 2022 dimensional transport chariot, because in the new Earth paradigm, you can't have a space program without understanding the Merkaba. And you've got beautiful depiction of the Merkaba there. So maybe we could talk about that for a moment. How did that come to you? And what is this depicting for those who don't understand that geometry?
Right. So the Merkaba by itself is sort of is basically called a dimensional transport chariot is what it is. And it's sort of an expression. Some people are like, oh, it's the Star of David. Yeah. So from an ancient perspective, you know, this is what comes with the sort of balancing of the different modes within the body. This is an expression of how one can actually travel from an astral standpoint, from one point to another, or from one mind to another mind. You know, it's a way of understanding a transport vehicle in terms of what can be done when you have a balance within your energy body. So the way I've chosen to show it, and there are people who explain it way better than I do. I explained that very poorly, but
you did great. I think that
thank you very much. So the way I've understood it, and this piece, actually the idea for this piece, once again, this was another piece from a giveaway I recently had. What I generally do is I'll ask for three themes. The woman who won this piece, one of her ideas was she wanted a Merkaba, you know, and then she wanted like something, and she said a couple other things, or chakras or something else. I can't remember what her specific themes were. That said, this image kind of came to me, and it came to me in a very strong way. This idea of a composite image showing different interfaces in metaphysical space. And so, you know, you look here, you have this, you know, you have this this portal going on here, this energy that is actually shooting through a portal or coming out of a portal. You have these geometric constructs up top. You have these sort of subatomic or, you know, microscopic or quantum particles that are phasing in and out of existence, right? Sort of superimposition state, right? You have, you know, lightning that was hitting. It's funny because at the time here in Vegas, we were having a lot of storms and a lot of floods. And so, I don't know, that might've had something to do with it, but not really. The fact of the matter is that the way that the energy is hitting the water, it's affecting the water, it's giving the water, it's igniting the water, it's imparting energy into the water, and the water itself is ebbing and flowing forward. But the water doesn't just terminate, the water becomes something different. So, you know, energy isn't destroyed, it transforms, right? So that's why you have the waterfalls kind of coming off. If you ever get a chance to look at the piece, I'll probably sell prints of this one. In a while, I've got to find another print on demand service because the one I was using wasn't very great. But you can kind of see here, if you look on the bottom here, that there are these little dancing particles of water down here by the grass, by this little grassy part on this landmass in the bottom middle portion here. So the water, even the water itself, is coming alive in a sense because of the interaction between this energy that is coming from a different space. And so what I'm trying to show here is that there's all these different ways to interface with your surroundings, with things going on around you, with energies around you. Once again, these are just different data expressions. These are just different ways to understand what's going on. These organic shapes on the right here, these could be emotions, you know, on the right down here, and how emotions may look to some souls who may perceive these things in an astral space, in an astral modality, in a psychedelic modality, in a spiritual modality, in a dreamlike modality. You'll notice here that you have water coming out of these portals on the middle right here. You know, this is coming from another space. So saying that, you know, this water isn't this static thing. You know, this water, this living water, this living, this life, this flow can come from a different place as well. And so what I like to impart to people who are creative and people who don't consider themselves creative, which everybody's creative, is this idea that you know, finding a way to add a voice, adding identity to your experience, to components and ideas and concepts within your experience is a great way to understand how these things are affecting you. And so this soul, this individual here who has found this way to manipulate their higher self, has balanced their chakras in a way to where the chakras are actually driving the Merkaba. They're driving the experience. And so because of that balance, they're able to drive a little bit, you know? It may not be consistent, you know, because we're human, right? And we have to kind of fight with things, but yeah.
That's been part of my journey over the last couple of years, getting to that point where I can do more astral journeys and connect with other aspects of myself. And so it comes and goes, you know, but it's been an interesting experience. And I love how you depict the chakras connecting to like other, you know, times and places and energies, because those chakra points are like the way in which we connect, you know, like that's how we get attached to people and, you know, karmic events and all that. All that's living, you know, in those chakras. And you're depicting like the rainbow body, you know, in this really cool way, in this just super connected way, which is like this incredible visual to have, you know, because we read about these things, we intellectualize them, we might have some of our own experiences and start to kind of put together the pieces of the puzzle in our head. But you have this ability to just channel that puzzle in a way that brings this incredible visual to life. And I'm always overwhelmed when I see your work. It's so beautiful and so activating. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, a lot of people are doing it. So I'm one of many, I like to say, and there are many extremely talented and fantastic artists in the metaphysical space and otherwise. And so, yeah, it's thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to keep going and developing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're here to champion you. So I'm going to say you're one of the best and one of the best I've seen. And I think like you're representing a certain level of mastery that I think is like our calling and something that so many people are like feeling this urge and this desire to move towards right now. And I think it's just so incredible that you can be a guide for others in that process. So we're kind of getting close to time. I want to keep going and going and going, but we should probably wrap up at some point soon. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how people can find you. What does your process look like for working with people? If people are looking for a mentor, if they're looking to learn about how to do what you're doing, how to channel, how to put on paper this energetic expression, how can you support people in that?
So these are my links here on the right here. These are different ways that you can kind of connect with me, if you will. It's been a little difficult to connect with every single person. I get lots of DMs, I get lots of messages and stuff like that. I am thinking about maybe doing some classes, you know, and creating some more mentorly sort of spaces. I have found that might be the best way to connect. So I may be reaching out to you for that, Jenna, if you know about some of those different systems for that, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, some people, it's really a time thing. Like I said, I still have a day job. A lot of artists, you know, don't make a lot of money. Even with my transmigration art, I don't make a lot of money, but that's not a big deal. it's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes I get back to certain people. Sometimes I don't. There are some people who come to me who are truly asking for guidance. And I try to connect with them and have some conversations and guide them. If they're artists, I try to guide them to different books or to different places that they can start developing their specific type of drawing ability or painting ability. But I am thinking about classes. I did a class on Portal to Ascension called Creative Identity of the Soul, I think is what the class was called, I think. And so you can kind of get that on Portal to Ascension if you go there, check it out. That was good because, yeah, you can take the class. And I went through some of the ideas about how to think about art and how to think about your specific artistic identity as well. I'm going to actually stop sharing here.
Awesome. And for everyone watching or listening, the links that Kimora was just sharing are also below in the show notes. So you can quickly go grab those links and find her work, find her social channels and connect that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where classes are good, you know, like learning spaces are good. So we'll talk about that more in the future. But if you are interested in that, you know, DM me or even in like one of the comments in the pictures, you know, in one of my pieces, just throw a comment down there and say, hey, start some classes or something, you know, just tell me what to do. That seems to be the best way because I get a lot of information. I get a lot of correspondence going on, but I'm not always the best because of time, not because of anything else. So I appreciate each and every one of you who reach out, each one of you who support my work, like my pieces. But yeah, tell me what you want, you know, and then we can sort of figure out some different ways to achieve those things. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're watching on YouTube, drop some comments below. If we bring some of Kimora's work and energy to Star Family Wisdom, what would you want to see? What would you want to do with Kimora? Because we're definitely feeling the vibes and feeling this energy here. So we're gonna do some more chats, I think, in the future and keep talking about our multidimensional selves and how we can all embody the new human together on this journey. So Kimora, thank you so much for this conversation and sharing yourself and sharing your energy with the audience. I hope for everyone watching that this has been so activating and inspiring and has left you with some passion and drive to find your thing, to find your unique calling and gifts. And like we said, I think the big takeaway is that, right? Like, get out of the drama and cultivate the gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone. I really appreciate you. You're all so beautiful and perfect. And please believe in yourself. Take yourself seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. But believe in yourself, love yourself, and love others for the most part. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimora. Thanks everyone for watching. Subscribe, like, comment. Let us know what you thought, and we'll see you next time on the next episode. Bye for now.